So it's like Anton suddenly doesn't even know I exist, and him and Overcoat Man, whose name is Steve, just start walking down Bourke Street without even saying where they're going, and me and Sonny just have to follow like a couple of idiots. And I didn't even get to have my shower, which pisses me off something fierce. They cross the road with car horns howling, and me and Sonny nearly get hit. And they're acting like they own the town, and they're talking, and I'm trying to listen, but the most I can work out is that Anton might know Steve from some place in North Melbourne. But more than anything, I'm wondering just when in the world of fuck we're going to score. We're going to get on it or what? I think I must have said it pretty loud, or maybe even screamed it, because they both turn around and start laughing, almost like I'm a lunatic or something. Steve stops and puts his arm around me, which makes me shrink a bit inside. He says he'll help me out. Just stick with me, he says. I'll get us sorted. The problem with Steve getting us sorted is that none of us has any money. I mean, Steve and Anton have a bit, but between both of them there's barely enough for anything, and I don't really want to turn a trick if I can avoid it. But Steve has an idea. He reckons me and Sonny would be good beggars, because of Sonny mostly. He reckons I can set up down Swanston Street just with a sign or something. Couple of hours, he says, and we'll have more than we know what to do with. To be honest, I don't like begging. I've only ever done it once, when I was really stuck, and that was way before I was turning tricks. From what I remember, it wasn't much fun. I was never good at lying, and I reckon people could tell that I didn't really lose my purse, and I didn't really need to buy a bus ticket to Wodonga to see my mum, and she wasn't really sick. In some ways, even though turning tricks can be completely gross, and sometimes pretty scary, it also feels pretty good. Not in a sexual way or nothing, because I feel in control of things most of the time. It's kind of like my job, and I can decide how and when I earn money, you know, almost like running my own business, I suppose, like a profession. Anton reckons that if I'm going to keep doing it, I should go into a brothel or something, because it'd be safer. But I like doing my own thing. I like being self-employed. I don't want someone telling me who and when and how I should fuck and then keeping most of the money for themselves. And from what I know of the girls, it isn't any safer. If blokes pay enough, they basically get to do anything. Fisting, double pen, scat, and some real sadistic stuff too. Most of what I do is pretty easy, once you get used to it. Steve finds me a spot on the footpath between McDonald's and Off Your Tree, which is a bong shop. He reckons being near McDonald's is good because there'll be heaps of people and they'll have change from lunch or whatever. And he doesn't think anyone from Off Your Tree will hassle me. Anton nods like it's a good idea, but it seems like I have to do all the work. Don't worry, we'll keep an eye out, he says, just in case anyone gives you a hard time or if the cops come. Steve gets some cardboard from a bin. He writes a note. We're cold. Need a place to sleep for me and Sonny, if you can spare some change. You spelled it wrong. What? Sonny. He looks at me sideways. Doesn't matter. I squat down on the footpath, cross my legs and take off my beanie. The concrete is so fucking cold and my bum is freezing. There's just denim, cotton and then my skin. And now I know why people use blankets when they beg. I try not to add up after people drop their coins in or watch too closely because I don't want to look desperate. But it seems like it's going okay. After a bit, a group of young guys walk past, high school kids, and one yells out, "Get a job!" And I say, "Eat a dick!" So then his mate throws his empty Slurpee at me, except it isn't really empty, and I get Coke or something sweet and sticky all in my hair. They all laugh like it's the funniest thing ever. I look around for Anton and Overcoat Steve, but they're nowhere. Sonny sits up and licks my face. Some old lady comes up to me when it's almost dark. She bends down real slowly like she's sore. She reads my sign, then puts a $20 note in my beanie. It's pretty incredible, but it makes me feel bad. She smiles, but in a nice way. Like she's trying especially hard to be respectful. She has gold-rimmed glasses and a black cloak, and I wonder if she's a nun or something. but I don't get a chance to ask because Anton and Steve come back. Once she sees them both standing there like freaks, the old lady moves away quickly, which is probably fair enough. Anton's eyes are glassy and he has this woozy smile like he's been on the piss. He picks up my beanie, then holds up the $20 note to the light like he can't believe it's real. Jesus, he says, and I can tell he's well pissed. Whatever cash they did have, they've blown it. Told you, didn't I? Steve has his overcoat done right up to his neck, and he looks like one of those ticket inspectors they have on the trams, except a junkie version. Let's go party, eh? He winks at me when he says it, and even though I'm dying for a hit, I wish it was just me and Anton. I wish it was just me and Anton and Sonny. I try to catch Anton's gaze to show him what I'm feeling, but he's off somewhere else. To be fair, it was Steve's idea that got us all that cash. But I still wish he wasn't there with his overcoat and his nose ring and his hands deep in his pockets and with those eyes that glimmer darkly in the streetlight.